Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Can anyone out there identify with what it feels like when your phone calls are not answered? Can you identify what it's like when your phone calls aren't answered or your text messages aren't responded to, or there's no response to that email or that letter that you sent out in the mail to someone? There may be some people listening to this morning who I owe a phone call or a text reply back to. And if I haven't gotten back to you yet, I apologize. But sometimes life happens. But if you're like me and you don't get that returned phone call or that returned text or email, here's what happens. In the absence of a response, we can start quickly thinking the very worst, right? We tend to start making up the most negative thing in our head that could possibly be going on. And then that negativity and us going to the worst possible outcome our imagination can come up with, that starts filling us up with fear and anxiety and apprehension. Why aren't they answering me? Did I do something to make them mad at me? Did I offend them? Maybe we're never going to be friends ever again. I mean, those kind of things go through our heads, and we tend to get frustrated by that lack of response, and we tend to feel rejected by the silence, and often we're actually misreading what is actually going on. And our misinterpretation of the silence makes us feel insecure. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Have you, even in the past 7 days, have you had a moment where you felt a bit insecure? Over the past week, we've been talking about how we can build up resiliency in our lives so that we can be better at bouncing back when times get tough. We've learned over the past couple of weeks that tolerating sin in our lives will pull us down and will negate our ability to bounce back. Remember the bobber being pulled down by the fish? Tolerating sin in our life will drag us under and will not allow us to be resilient. We've learned that we need to pray and engage in the word the right way. We talked about that last week. We need to pray and engage in the word the right way in order to be able to rebound effectively. By the way, if there was an app, how much time would it show you spending in prayer and in the Word this past week? This week, I want to talk about another one of the big enemies of resiliency, one of the big enemies of not being able to bounce back. And that enemy is isolation. Isolation. When we are isolated, when we are disconnected from others, when we are separated from our neighbors and from our faith family in particular, we are vulnerable. We become vulnerable. The enemy of our souls, he loves to isolate the children of the King. For when we're isolated, church, we simply are easy prey for the devil. In our isolation, the information about what is really happening, it becomes limited. We're isolated. We don't have connection with other people. So the information inputs, the data we can gather, is limited to only what we can see, only what we can hear, only what we can sense in our sphere of being. In our isolation, we can become depressed. In our isolation, we become disenchanted. In our isolation, we can begin feeling abandoned. But there is hope and there is help for followers of Jesus this morning who may be feeling like they're struggling with insecurity and isolation. Now, we've been focusing over the past couple of weeks on Hebrews chapter 10. And this past week, again, I was asking you to read Hebrews chapter 10, particularly verses 19 through 31. Hebrews chapter 10 is a letter focused on encouraging and educating the early Jewish Christians to hang in there, to not give up. Hebrews is filled with examples of why we should cling to our hope in Christ. And it's filled with warnings about possibly falling away when the chips are down and the pressure is turned up in our lives. Now, for you, this morning, I want to focus on the 25th verse of Hebrews chapter 10. Pastor Ed talked about this verse, I think, last Sunday night for just a couple of moments, and I want to spend a couple of moments talking about it even more. We find these helpful words in the 25th verse of Hebrews chapter 10 this morning that inform our encounters with isolation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 this morning, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as the day of Christ's return is approaching." Now, Pastor Vicky, she likes to boil whole chickens in the crock pot. That's one of I think she really enjoys boiling a whole chicken. She gets really excited if we go to the store and we get some whole chickens to put in the freezer. She likes to stock them up because she likes to put a whole chicken in the crock pot. And after we enjoy a nice meal of that chicken in the crock pot, I am always amazed at how she is able to clean all the extra meat from the bones off of that chicken that came out of that crock pot. And she is not only able to take all of the meat off the bones, but she's also a pro at harvesting the broth from the leftovers so that she can use that for other dishes. And today we're going to do a little bit of that with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We are going to pick the meat from the bones of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This simple verse, which I think is probably really familiar to a lot of us, has a lot of meat on it that we need to digest if we are going to successfully confront and address isolation and build up our ability to bounce back in the midst of these challenging times that we find ourselves in. So I'm going to boil it down. Okay, we're going to boil it down as we pick the meat off. I'm going to boil it down. I'm going to do this through four C's. I got four C's for you this morning. And you can grab a piece of paper if you want to write these down. I would encourage you to take notes on how many game show references I make. And I would encourage you to make sure that you catch what popular old jingle comes out, advertising jingle comes out in this sermon this morning, just to help you keep track and keep score as you're paying attention this morning. We're boiling down Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, with four C's. That's not four chickens. We got four different C's this morning. The first C that I want to talk about, that I want to focus on today, is community. The first C is community. If this verse teaches us anything, it is that we need each other. We need each other, church. I think the early Jewish Christians were probably under a lot of social pressure for choosing to follow Jesus. And after a while, the pressure got so great that some of them stopped or they gave up showing up to prayer meeting midweek. The pressure got so great that some of them stopped showing up for church on Sunday morning. It was easier for them to stop gathering with other believers than it was to withstand the pressure that they were feeling. And as soon as they stopped gathering together, they started slipping right into the hands of the enemy. Hear this morning, Maplewood. With church being forced online during the pandemic, many people have been tempted to find other things to do rather than to invest in the time that nurtures their faith. I'm sure the rationale was, I don't need to go to service today. I can catch that later online or something like this. I can do it on my own. This time has really proved to me that I don't need the church. Hear the lies of the devil playing out there? That is a false assumption that people make when they think that they can do it on their own. There are no Lone Rangers. You've heard us say that before in the past. There are no Lone Ranger disciples of Jesus, because we need each other. It's the way we're wired spiritually. We need the accountability that comes from belonging to a faith community. And at a time when we need community more than ever, some have given up the habit of meeting together. And there are some of you watching this morning who have been tempted to give up the habit of meeting together with your brothers and sisters, even online like this. Folks, we have to resist that temptation. It's part of the enemy's deceptive strategy in the midst of all this turmoil to lure us. He's going to try to lure us into isolation where he knows that we can be devoured as easy prey. In some ways, we need each other in community as badly as we need immunity from the virus. You catch that? Community boosts our immunity from the devil's ways. Don't forget that. Our faith community is critical to our spiritual vitality and our resiliency. But these days, I think it's super critical to our spiritual survival in the midst of the times that we find ourselves going through. Why is community so important? We need community for encouragement and comfort in difficult times. And that really is the second C this morning. First, we had community. The second C is comfort. That's the second lesson I want to focus on this morning from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Our sense of being is grounded in the comfort and encouragement we gain by belonging to a faith community, belonging to a community that is bigger than ourselves. When we're isolated, we tend to feel less secure. It's just that simple. Isolation makes us feel insecure. Our brains begin to make things up to fill in the blanks created by the lack of interaction and authentic relationship that our minds and our souls crave so badly. As human beings, for some reason, we are wired to go negative. We're just simply wired to go negative unless we have the positive reinforcement from others in our lives. So part of staying plugged into the community helps us to realize that we are not alone. There is real power, church, in simply realizing that we're not alone, that you are not the only one who is experiencing what you're experiencing, that you are not the only one going through this, that you're not the only one feeling this way, that you are not the only one these days who finds yourself on the struggle bus. I want you to repeat after me this morning. I am not alone in this. Say it out loud where you're at. I am not alone in this. You may even want to put it in the chat out there this morning, just to kind of emphasize the reality of the fact that I am not alone in this. It's sometimes simply an encouragement to hear others express the same feelings and frustrations that we ourselves may be facing. It's comforting. It's healing. It's helpful to our souls. We need to hear we are not alone in our struggles. This comfort that we receive from community, I think it also allows us to gain some perspective beyond our own personal experience. And we don't realize it. We don't realize it at all. But especially in extended hard times like the times that we're going through right now, we need a perspective aside from our own to help us build up our ability to bounce back. That sense of perspective comes in the form of our third C this morning. Our third C is the counsel of others. We've got community, we've got comfort. Now I want to talk about the counsel of others. C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Counsel. The counsel of other people. Have you ever watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? One of the options the contestants on that show can choose or could choose when it was on, if you didn't know the answer, you could phone a friend. You could phone a friend. Why? Because sometimes when we are sitting in the chair and there's a lot of pressure on us to come up with the right answer, we need the counsel. We need the help of another person. I'll tell you the truth. I really miss being able to call my dad when something goes wrong in my house. This week I had a drawer break in my house and I wasn't sure how to fix it. I would have loved to have been able to phone my dad. Say, hey, what should I do? How should I fix this? There's a part of me that was like missing being able to just phone him and say, hey, could you come over and fix it for me? But now I'm in big boy land and I had to figure out how to do it myself. In our isolation, we find ourselves missing the point of view from a trusted friend to help us arrive at the right answer, to help us make the right decision, to help us to make the smart call, to help us to stay on course and not give up. One of the benefits of gathering together in community is that it allows us to intentionally expose ourselves to different personalities, different perspectives, sometimes even different politics. Think about how beautiful the faith family at Maplewood is. There are so many different personalities and people and talents, and it's that diversity that helps us be better. It gives us a perspective other than our own. And whether we realize it or not, those different perspectives around us, they round us out. They smooth our rough edges. They make us wiser. You, Maplewood, have made me a better person because I know you and I love you and you're part of my life. And I hope that you feel the same way being related to each other in Christ through our faith community. These different relationships, these different perspectives, they make us better able to understand different points of view, sometimes even when we don't agree 100% with each other. Remember the day when we could disagree on things and not have to be enemies 100% of the way? In the Church of Jesus Christ, we don't have to agree 100% on everything. We need to appreciate the perspectives that people bring in, and we need to approach each other with grace and mercy, just as we have been approached with grace and mercy by Jesus Christ in our own lives. We model it with each other in community. These community relationships are critical to helping us build resiliency and be able to bounce back. Without the counsel of others, we can't be resilient. Even though we're isolated by the pandemic, sometimes we feel the need to phone a friend. And part of meeting together, part of being together in community, is about maintaining those connections with fellow sisters and brothers in Christ outside of the time we get together for worship like this on Sunday morning and outside of the time we get together on Wednesday night for Bible study when we gather together online. And that's kind of our fourth C that I want to talk to you this morning briefly about. The fourth C is connection. So we've got community, comfort, counsel, and connection. We need to make sure we are intentionally, Maplewood, listen to me now. Don't go to sleep on me. We need to make sure that we are intentionally building and maintaining our connections with our faith family, even in the midst of this pandemic. We need to be actively, not passively, but every single one of us, not just your pastors, not just your Sunday school teachers, not just your board members, all of us need to be actively reaching out to connect with those who are disconnected. It reminds me of another game show that is on television these days. Remember The Weakest Link? Have you ever watched that show? If our connections with our faith family are weak, Maplewood, especially during these hard times, we are more likely to be suffering from the symptoms of isolation. If we are the weakest link in our faith community, we are at risk for spiritual crisis. I want you to hear that again. If we are the weakest link in our faith community, we are at risk for spiritual crisis. We are vulnerable to the snares of the enemy if we are isolated. There is power in intentional connection. Intentional is the key word there. There is power in intentional connection. If you have your cell phone and you have a cord, but you don't intentionally plug it into the power source, That phone is going to die. That battery is going to die in that phone. You have to intentionally pick up the cord and you have to plug it into the power source in order for it to be charged up. There is power in intentional connection. No connection, no power. No power, no resiliency. No resiliency, no ability to bounce back when we're knocked down by unforeseen setbacks and crisis. Part of connecting, especially during these times, is to be a first mover. I want to talk to you about what it means to be a first mover this morning. Are you feeling disconnected today? As you're sitting here watching this, you're like, gee, Pastor, I'm kind of feeling disconnected myself. If you're feeling disconnected today, I would encourage you to intentionally reach out. Remember that jingle way back in the 70s and early 80s, AT&T, I think it was? Reach out and touch someone. There's your advertising jingle I mentioned earlier this morning for you. Reach out, Maplewood. If you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling disconnected, reach out intentionally and touch someone. Be the one to make the first move. It's really easy to sit back and go, woe is me, nobody contacts me anymore. That is the enemy just trying to lure you further into isolation. What Jesus tells us what we should be doing, if we're starting to feel that way, we need to intentionally reach out. We need to be intentionally reaching out. Make the first move. Be the first mover. Being a first mover is actually very Christ-like. It's very Christ-like. So we've been focusing on Hebrews chapter 10. We've also been focusing on Romans chapter 5 through this series. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read how it is very much a godlike and a Christ-like thing to be a first mover. It's like the image to be the acting in the image of God is to be a first mover. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus made the first move. It's Christ-like to be a first mover. He didn't wait until we were ready to be saved. He didn't wait until we were aware of our need. He moved first because he realized we needed to be saved. He moved first before we even realized that we had a need in our hearts. Someone in your circle of influence, and I'm talking to all of us this morning, someone in your circle of influence needs connection today, and they may not even know it. Maybe the Lord has put that someone on your heart and you haven't done anything about it up until this point. Friend, I'm encouraging you this morning, be a first mover. Be a first mover. Reach out and touch someone this week. Reconnect with that person that the Lord has put on your heart. My big worry is that we have some folks in our congregation we haven't seen for a while. I'll just be really honest with you. They may be younger in their faith journey. They may have gotten out of the habit of meeting together. We need to be prayerfully seeking direction from the Holy Spirit to reconnect with folks whose links may be a little weaker than ours in our Maplewood faith family. They may not even know that they need the connection, but I believe it is our calling during difficult times like this to be first movers and connect with one another and reconnect with those we haven't seen for a while. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All the more as you see the day approaching. We need community. We need comfort. We need counsel. We need connection. These are the things that we need all the more, as the scripture tells us. When we encounter tough times and hard knocks, our tendency is to want to give up meeting together. We don't want to connect with anybody. I just want to go be by myself. Just leave me alone, right? Isn't that the way we are? But in reality, when we encounter tough times and hard knocks, that's the moment when we need community and comfort and counsel and connection all the more. It's in the midst of the tough times and the hard knocks that the enemy tends to pick us off one at a time and devour us like a prowling lion. Now, all the more, we need each other. We're never going to maintain resiliency without our sisters and our brothers in Christ helping us through these times. As we move into this week, I have another homework assignment for you. Okay, I'm going to put it up on the screen here real quickly. These aren't hard assignments. They're just things that you can think about and things that you can work on in your daily prayer and devotional life. I want you to reflect on the following questions this week as we wrap things up this morning. I want you to reflect on these questions. Am I doing enough to intentionally connect to my Maplewood Faith family outside of our service times? Now, this connection, this community, it has to happen in between the times we gather together in order for it to be effective. If this is your only moment of connection, you're at risk. You're at risk for being devoured by the prowling lion, who is the devil. Am I doing enough to intentionally connect with my Maplewood Faith family outside of our service times? When was the last time I reached out and touched someone? When was the last time I reached out to comfort or counsel one of my brothers or sisters at Maplewood? Can you remember the last time you did that personally? God has a job for us. He wants you to reach out and touch someone. It is our job to keep one another connected, to be first movers. And finally, who is the Holy Spirit directing me to be a first mover to connect with this week? Who's the Holy Spirit directing me to be a first mover with this week? Who needs connection? Church, now more than ever, we need each other. It's quite simple. There are no lone rangers out there, none that survive. If you try to do this on your own, you're going to struggle. You risk getting swallowed up by the enemy and falling away. We're not able to connect in person right now, but we do have electronic devices. We have phones. We can reach out. You could write a letter. You could write an email. There are a lot of different creative, simple ways that you could do things for one another. The need is greater than ever now to be intentional, to do it on purpose. To make it like something you put on your to-do list, to make the extra effort to connect with one another in between the times we get together here online. Our faith family is a gift. Reach out and touch someone. It'll help you. It'll help them. That connection that we crave, connection will help us be more resilient. And it will help us be able to better bounce back during these difficult times. Now all the more, Maplewood, we need each other.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.